You know how people talk about like the dark night of soul?
Yeah.
That is an activation that's calling you into your divine purpose. And a lot of times we see that as like, oh my God, like this is the worst thing that could ever be happening. Like, yeah, I went homeless. Yeah, I had to get divorced. Yes, I lost all my businesses. But on the other side of that now, I'm like, whoa, it was all worth it. And when you have like that, you know, that sight afterwards, that's when you start seeing like everything is intrinsically like designed by you for you so that
it's
you can
gonna
do what
happen
you're doing.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself, and remembering who I really am. I have found that the answers we are often looking for, the freedom we seek to feel, the creative energy we desire, the confidence we would like to embody, is not something outside of us, but within us. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational in living a life full of transformation. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I sit down with Shaman Axel, who I don't even know how to introduce this episode. He is a trusted shaman of influencers, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, but that's just like the fluff, right? He is an incredible human who is deeply tapped into so many modalities that are beyond this 3D realm. He talks about his story, which he struggled with PTSD, and that was a big awakening for him. He was really able to bring his gifts online during that time. And we talk a bit about that. He was also born and raised a shaman. We talk about that. And then we talk about so many other modalities and things. And I'm going to butcher it if I try to explain it, but just know that after we recorded this episode, I felt really called as he was speaking to work with him on an area of my life. And we started to work together as soon as we hit stop recording, and I'm going to continue working with him on this particular thing. And I just want to say that seeing him in real life in his work, I was blown away in just the little bit that we started kind of riffing back and forth after we hit stop recording. So I just feel like I'm not doing the best job introducing this episode or sharing who he is or what he does, because it's something you just really have to listen to. So without further ado, why don't you jump in and listen to it? Because you're going to get a lot more from him than you will from me trying to explain it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I don't know much about you.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Which is fun. Casper, our shared production, he told me a little bit about you. And he mentioned your story, your background a bit. So I'd love to just jump in and hear it all.
All right. Yeah. Sorry to like introduce myself?
Cool. And then let's go into your background.
All right. Yeah. So my name is Axel and I am a lifelong shaman. I come from a long line of shamans, and my entire life I was just kind of learning how to bend reality. At some point I decided to leave that culture because they had this strong mindset that we should all just stick together and not get involved with other people who don't understand that type of world. And I was like, how do people learn if they never have the experience of coming into contact with highly spiritual people, right? And that was kind of like my first instincts as a teenager. I was like, I want to leave like this shamanic structure, even though I feel really at home with it. I really felt this strong desire to like go out and show people and prove to people like you can be spiritual and you can be in alignment. You can read tarot, you can bend reality, you can heal people. And that's kind of like where I started off doing a lot of my work. And then everything really kicked off for me when it was like 2014-ish. I ended up getting into some trouble and I ended up basically developing PTSD from the severe situation that ended up happening with me. And I basically lost all connection with my life. I couldn't feed myself, go to the bathroom, do anything. I was like bedridden. I'd sleep like 6 days out of the week. And on that seventh day, I would almost like have energy, but I could only do like the most basic and minimal stuff, right?
How old are you?
I'm 33, yeah.
But when this happened?
Oh, well, when it happened, I was about like 24.
Okay.
Yeah. So during that time, you know, I got to, before I had gotten that whole experience dropping down, I was a serial entrepreneur. I had multiple businesses. I was really social. Everybody knew me around that area of Detroit. And I got to a point, because I was in this position for 6 months of like not being able to do anything, that I decided to forfeit my life. And I literally told the cosmos, like, I'm done with this. If I'm never going to come back to what I used to do, it's whatever. I'd rather just forfeit. And you know how people tell you, you see like the lights right before you're about to cross over? Totally saw the lights, 100% real. And at the last minute, right before I'm about to cross, I had this thought, like, what if the answer exists? It's just not here in the physical realm. And I had to go somewhere else to get it. Because at that time, before that moment, I had tried Western medicine. So they had me on a bunch of different prescriptions, and each prescription made me feel worse. And I tried different forms of energy healing and shamanism, but nothing worked. And when I said that last statement at the lights, it pulled me away. And I traveled the cosmos for about another 6 months. And I started like learning how astral culture basically works, like all these different planets, all these different deities. And one of the things that was really interesting is like when I became really good friends with one of those astral beings, they would give me like a charm of some sort. It looked like little keychains, and they were like hanging off the edge of my pants when I was walking around. And I used to think to myself, oh, wow, this is like astral bling, right? This is like my new attire. And once I had about like seven of them, they were like, you need to go back and I'll start teaching people. And I had told them, hey, I'm bedridden. I can't do anything. Like,
so where are you in your process? You're in your bed and you just start astral traveling, and like that becomes your days, right?
Yeah. That was my entire process. I was sleeping physically the whole entire time.
Okay. And you just started accessing when you made that choice to basically forfeit your life.
Right. And it had taken me, it started just randomly showing me different places. So I went to like the other like alien civilizations, and I saw like how they created art, and they started teaching me about, you know, how the cosmos works, how to like actually astral travel and communicate with other people and stuff like that. Some of them had given me their names. Like I remember one time, I met one that was called Vishnu and another one that was called Lakshmi. But at that time, I didn't know anything about Hindu gods or anything like that. So when they had told me to come back and basically start teaching other people, something told me, look up Lakshmi and Vishnu. See if like anybody's ever talked about these beings, right? And I was blown away when I realized that these were like Hindu deities, and they looked exactly as they were being depicted and everything. And I was like, okay, well, this is real, you know? So when I came back from all of that, my PTSD disappeared in about 4 to 6 months. It was really fast.
So what do you mean when you came back from it?
Because they had told me, you know, now you got to go back and start teaching other people.
Right.
And that's when it was almost like I was locked out of the cosmos. It's like somebody had been like, okay, now you're stuck in your body. You have to force yourself to wake up and do the things that we gave you. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. In that original statement of like, I'm willing to look for the answer, it means nothing, right? And that's when slowly I started having like these impulses, and I noticed like my vitality started coming back. Like I didn't have to take as many prescriptions. You know, I could feed myself. I could go to the bathroom again. And it started happening so fast that even my family was like, what are you doing? What's working? Let's talk about it. And at first I was like, okay, a lot of my friends at the time, they knew I was a shaman and stuff, but I never really went really deep into it with them. And then I started telling them my story, and they were like, okay, well, try it on us and see what happens if you try it on us. And I said, okay, cool. So when I started doing that, they started having like crazy experiences. Like rather they started manifesting money really fast, or, you know, if they had like phantom pain of some sort, it started disappearing. And that's when I started seeing, okay, well, this is actually something beyond what I even thought was for me. That's when I got really interested in testing it. I wanted to be like an experimenter at this point, cause I was like already kind of doing science and whatever. And, I put a post on Craigslist and I said, hey, if you let me record what happens with this new thing that I'm doing, I'll do a energy healing for you for free. And random people.
Craigslist?
Yeah, I know. That was back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when a bunch of people just randomly started messaging me from literally all over the world. It was really weird because one person would hear about it, then tell somebody else. And it kind of was like a domino effect. So people would come to my house, lay on this massage table that, you know, I, at the time I was like, really broke because I had lost all that time building my businesses and whatnot. So I would lay them down on the table and just like from like this distance, right, where we're at, I would just be projecting energy, not saying anything to them or anything like that. And people would get up. Oh my God, I feel like I had 20 years of therapy and like a 90 minute session. I don't understand.
What are you doing on them in these sessions?
So the technique taught me that there are 7 chakras outside of the body. And we're all like really familiarized with internal chakras. Like, you know, each chakra inside of your body is associated to another organ or stuff like that. But the outer chakras are the ones that actually let you bend reality like mystics do. So a lot of times you see the halo in like religious art, that's your 8th chakra. And it once you tap into that, you can bend time and space literally. You can slow it down. You can amplify it. Like you can almost like timeline jump as well. Once you understand how it works, the 9th chakra is where your soul is. So the way I like to explain it to people is your soul is like a closet with all these different outfits. Your spirit goes into that closet and then says, you know what? I feel like being an ancient Egyptian today, and then jumps into time itself and has that lifetime, right? The 10th chakra is all about the interconnectivity of like yourself with the planet. And when you understand that the planet is an extension of your body, everything changes, because then the planet itself starts educating you on other mystical abilities that you have, like talking to animals, connecting to plants, and doing like advanced herbalism like the Native Americans used to do. Like basically the way they were able to come up with all these different forms of holistic healing was because the planet itself and the plants were educating them on what to do. So the 11th chakra is what people call, or in esoterica is called mind over matter. And that's where you can see like a lot of like these gurus and yogis that have mastered it. They can materialize things out of thin air, or they can change their appearance. Like they can do a lot of really cool stuff. The 12th chakra ends up being universal consciousness. And the best way I like to describe that to people is like the mother of all internets. So that's where people go to do like Akashic record readings and stuff like that. But when you learn how to tap into the universal consciousness, there's nothing you can't find out. Like you just literally have to know how to get there and then ask the question, and it's like a massive Google that pulls it up for you. The 13th and the 14th chakras are associated to like your divinity. So once if the other ones that have been activated, those two will automatically turn on. Like no one else can turn them on for you. Like a coach can definitely help you get to like 12, right? But after that, like those last two is when you fully understand the interconnectivity of all things and how you play a role in that reality. And then basically reality starts co-creating with you because you've given it so much real estate and consciousness that reality literally becomes easier. Like you'll manifest money without trying, you'll manifest opportunities, and just things start falling into place. And that's what people call like divine alignment, essentially. But that's how I ended up doing those. I just would activate those outer chakras on the person and wait for them to turn on their 13th and the 14th one. And that's where they would have like these miraculous events where people who had gone to doctors for 20 years and they couldn't figure out what the problem was with their body would just sit down 90 minutes, me not saying anything. And then suddenly that was gone. Cancers and everything. It was really, really intense and interesting.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you start doing this.
Yeah. And that's where like it kind of just exploded. Like I got instructed to create a course online because I was sitting down at that point asking myself, how is it possible like other people have done all these other forms of energy healing, but nothing had worked for me? Not Reiki, not, you know, Qigong, not even Western therapies or even Eastern therapies, because I tried acupuncture and everything. I was like, why was it this specific thing that's changed my life and other people's lives? And when I started doing like more energetic research, I ended up buying like aura cams. I ended up buying like spiritual technologies that allow you to read like the meridians and stuff like that. I started seeing like a trend, and I'm like, okay, well, the previous material that we have from other like cultures, they're they will function to a certain point, essentially, right? Like an aspirin is only going to be so good so far, right? And then that's when you have to like basically upgrade the medicine. And I was like, all right, well, this allowed me to see like the next upgrade and not only like esoteric medicine and holistic medicine, but consciousness itself. And I started reverse engineering Reiki. And I noticed that Reiki, because it was created in 1922, it's like a form of energy healing, and it's really popular around the world nowadays. But in 1922, like the creator wasn't dealing with social media and 5G and all the other stuff that's going on right now. And that's why it didn't work for me, because I had stressors that back then weren't a thing. So when I finally realized that, I started upgrading the modality, and now I teach something called quantum Reiki. And it's in 150 countries and 50 languages. And it's helping people who don't have access to medicine, who don't have access to conventional treatments and alternative therapies. Because there are people, you know, like even today in America, right? Like it can be pretty pricey if you don't have like those types of resources. But once you learn these techniques for yourself, you can be the own curator to your disease or health. And it's created amazing transformations to people regaining memories that they've lost from accidents, to being able to really become fertile again, even though they were not capable of having children. And it's a methodology, you know, like you learn it, and once you learn it, it physically changes your DNA, and then you can't like revert back. It, like everything just starts happening. So it's a really powerful form of medicine, and it's been really interesting to just kind of like share it and see what happens with it.
How do you share it? Do you do it on people or sharing information?
So I actually, that's actually what I was saying earlier. I ended up creating a course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I put it online, and I didn't think it was going to turn into anything, because I was like, nobody knows my name. Nobody knows anything, right? I didn't have social media at the time. And once I posted it, it blew up.
No way.
Yeah.
And how?
It just randomly picked up speed. So in a year's time, it was already in like 90 countries and in 30 languages. And people were messaging me and telling me all their crazy stories.
Were you trying to translate? Like, were you the stewardess of all of this, or?
Yeah, yeah. So I basically was doing everything on my own at that time, because I didn't have the resources to do anything else. So once I did that, I don't really know. I can't tell you to this point how it got to other countries and how people were like translating it even. But one of the things I did end up noticing was somebody who could translate the English would then try to like be the translator in real time to other people in their community, wherever they were. And then that's where it started picking up speed. And now today, like we're translating everything so that it can be more accessible. We have Spanish versions of it and like, you know, Indian versions. But yeah, that's kind of like how it all played out for me. And now I'm here doing it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating. How did you start to get better? Do you believe that when you were sick, you know, and bedridden, it was because this stuff was trying to come online?
Absolutely. So like, yeah, you know how people talk about like the dark night of soul?
Yeah.
That is an activation that's calling you into your divine purpose. And a lot of times we see that as like, oh my God, like this is the worst thing that could ever be happening. Like, yeah, I went homeless. Yeah, I had to get divorced. Yes, I lost all my businesses. But on the other side of that, now I'm like, whoa, it was all worth it. And when you have like that, you know, that sight afterwards, that's when you start seeing like everything is intrinsically like designed by you for you, so that
it's
you can
gonna
do what
happen
you're doing.
No matter what.
Yeah. And after a while, when you see it so many times over, even when the doubt starts creeping in, because I mean, I still have that doubt every once in a while. Like, is it really going to even blow up even further? Is like, you know, how can I make this better? Will it ever get better? Right. I remember all the experiences that I've had and everything I've gone through. And then it's just like that reaffirmation, like there's no way it can't happen. You know, you sink into that. Yeah.
What was your childhood like?
So I grew up with a ton of just like constantly watching people being able to bend reality, like probability, being able to counsel other people. So let me rewind a little bit. My grandmother was one of the top mediums in Western Europe. So she would counsel like the elites and on their business and stuff like that. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. And basically they taught me how to connect to all the elements in reality before I even knew what energy work was. Like I understood that spirits were living entities and they're right here. Like right now we're in this studio, But technically, since all dimensions are in the same place, there are other beings here that we can't even see. They might be listening to the podcast, or they may be completely oblivious that we're here because they don't have that sight to see lower. So there are like these separations between the universes. And I started learning that very deeply where, you know, right now we may not be able to see those spirits. They may not be able to see us because they don't have that lower consciousness either. And like basically how like physics change between dimensions itself. So I didn't really learn like the physics concept until much later, but that's basically what they were teaching me. I learned a lot about like connecting to myself, how meditation is not just like om, right? Like meditation is going out into nature and letting the trees talk to you, letting the birds educate you. I was never taught that energy wasn't real, that like I had limitations like the regular person would have, right? We grow up being told that you have to essentially mature, right? And I was always preserved in my imagination. The more stronger my imagination became, the more powerful and more real estate I had over bending reality itself. So by the time I was 16, I was really well-versed in doing tarot. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. I do year-long tarots and stuff like that, and they're super, super accurate. I ended up learning how to essentially do curses and stuff like that when I was younger. It was a lot of like that training of constantly, where's the next level that you can push? And for shamans, you know, doing black magic, doing light magic, it's all just magic. Each form of the art teaches you a different aspect of yourself. So a lot of times people think about black magic just being like evil. But to shamans, it shows you how to become indestructible because it shows you where there's flaws in your consciousness that like another person could exploit, like another shaman or something.
Oh.
Yeah. And then with white magic or light magic, that's where you start seeing like we live in a holographic universe and like you can bend the lights and the colors to cause a miraculous healing and stuff like that. So there's like this internal, external experience. And when I got to, when I was about like 16, like 15, 16, there's like a shamanic ritual where you have to basically shut off all your senses. And some people go into a cave, some people get locked in a room for an extended amount of time. I ended up doing this experience of sensory deprivation for about 8 days. So they put you in one of these like isolated spaces and you have just like a bottle of water and a little bit of bread and you're supposed to last all 8 days. If you do, when you come out the other side.
Wait, just one bottle of water?
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to like basically be able to ration it through that time. And if you don't ration it, then you have to tune into your body so that the body allows you to live like that long. So it's like a spiritual conscious death in a way, like you're choosing to like have that transformation. So I lasted about 7 days. Objective is 8. If you come out at the 8 days, you have like 100% of all of your abilities, which they naturally summon themselves while you're in that process. When I came out, I had immense abilities to manipulate the dead. And that's where my apprenticeship shows up because when you go through, each shaman has their own specific capabilities, basically based off of like your bloodline and the training that you're given basically, and other lifetimes too. So when I came out, I realized, oh man, I can talk to the dead like super fast. And they started teaching me, as a death shaman, you have to help people who are dying and prepare them for death. So I ended up doing a lot of hospice work and understanding like the end of life processes and how reincarnation works. And one of the things that I ended up learning during that time was, you know, if you die with regrets, that's karma. You're gonna definitely be reincarnated. But if you die with like, I lived a fulfilling life and I did as much as possible. And I know even though I'm not gonna be here, I'm still gonna be able to somehow communicate with my loved ones and guide them when they need me. That changes the karma and that gives you like the option when you die as to whether or not you do wanna be reincarnated, you wanna go to another planet or you just wanna stay in the ethers. And the other half of that was like, there would be people like, you know, that would die. And that's what people consider ghosts, right? And those ghosts would come to me and be like, I don't know. Like, I can't deal with the fact that I just died. I got to talk to my mom. I had so many things that had to be done. And I was basically like a therapist to the dead for a long time. And that probably lasted like 4 years. And I learned a lot about it. I even learned how to prevent people from dying. So like once you become really good at death shamanism, you can alter timelines and you can even do contracts with like the essence of death itself, and it can prolong, like you can, you know, if somebody's supposed to die tomorrow, you can ask death, like, hey, can you push it back 4 years possibly? And if death finds a good reason, or you, it's almost like you're petitioning your case to death, like a lawyer, it'll be like, fine. Okay. I'll cut some slack on this, and you can do some really cool stuff like that. Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
How did that start coming online when you were in that space for 7 days? Is it just 'cause you're like really with yourself?
Yeah. So, you know, it's pitch black. So the first thing that's really starts going is your vision.
Right.
And when your vision's completely gone, the mind has nothing else but the imagination to start producing things. And you'll start seeing images, colors, you'll start seeing your spirit guides. And then that's when you start hearing things and your hearing goes next. And it comes to a point where the brain has to entertain itself and all the senses. So you'll hear the voices of the dead, you'll hear the voices of yourself, because you're a multidimensional being. So there's different concepts or like layers to yourself, like your inner child, like your astral body, past lives. And it comes to a point where like each cell then completely gets convinced that it's no longer attached to life, and you start losing, you'll feel like your muscles start like going into contractions or cramps, and then eventually you can't even feel your body anymore. And it comes to the point where it's just your mind and the awareness of everything. There is no sight, there is no sound, there's nothing else but just you and the void. And in that void, you understand whatever comes next is because I'm projecting that into reality. My thought is the only thing that actually exists from this point forward. And then once you really understand that, like that's where you come out of it and you're like, okay, I want to manifest running into so-and-so like in the next week or so. And it will literally play out because there's no resistance between physical matter and the mind itself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really powerful.
Was it hard?
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 I wanted to push it to the eighth day. Because if you do 7 days, it's like 94% totality of what you acquire. But on that seventh day, something kicked in and I was just, I forgot who I was. I think that's what really scared me the most, is like, I couldn't remember my name. I couldn't remember who I was attached to. I couldn't remember anything. It was just the fact that like, you're in this space, like, what are you doing? Like, you gotta like press eject right now and get out of this. And it was like a fight or flight response, but it was all coming from like this unconscious place. And if I would have pushed it just a little bit more, had more of that self-restraint, I would have seen something beyond that. And I think that's what I saw later.
I was just gonna say, I feel like it came back for you.
Yeah, when I had that whole PTSD experience. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So then what does your life look like beyond that? You mentioned that you built businesses and how, what is that like? Like being a part of one world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also playing in this 3D realm.
Yeah. So, you know, it was after that point, I just really got drawn to being my own person. Ever since I was a kid, I've always had this mantra, like always be free, no matter what. Pursue freedom. And I did. I went to college. You know, I studied marketing. I studied psycholinguistics. I went for health and wellness. I got a PhD in metaphysical sciences, because my thing was like, if I need to understand how this works, you know, like coming from shamanism, they teach you a lot of like folklores that you have to like absorb, but there's not a lot of science that's behind it. And if I teach people with the non-scientific aspects of it, I'll tell you, okay, like, you want to bend the sky, right? You want to make it rain. You have to connect to every water molecule in the sky because you're 70% water. And then once there's no disconnection with that, you can make the rain come together and rain, right? So when I went to college, I got to this point where I'm going to eventually teach people how to do this, but no one's just going to be able to absorb just the folklore. So how do I get into that? When I started studying psycholinguistics, that allowed me to understand how language programs the mind, how that creates culture, and then sends a feedback loop to each one of us that creates our beliefs, basically our perceptions of reality, which essentially limits your imagination potential and creativity and all that other stuff. So after I learned that, when I went into health and wellness, I wanted to learn more about the PTSD aspects that I had like gone out of and how, you know, you can use meditation, how you can use herbalism and all this other stuff. And that's where I started creating businesses from it. I got into massage therapy for a while because I got really interested in like meridians and how the body was working. And my career has changed a lot of times over like the last decade. I started off, you know, having a wellness center to being a massage therapist to having a counseling space to, you know, psychic abilities and tarot readings. And today I'm really invested in esoteric technologies. So I help a lot of people who have like fibromyalgia, autoimmune disorders, HIV and stuff like that. And I help them tap back into their source code, change their DNA, and then eventually like eradicate that thing in their body. And what I've come to do over the years is pinpoint where each illness basically comes from. So like if, you know, a lot of people talk about the law of attraction, but nobody really wants to take responsibility for the fact that if you are attracting everything to you in some way, shape or form, the illness was manifested by you, even if you don't like that answer. And once the moment you stop having, like once you have that moment of non-resistance and you said, okay, if I created this illness, whatever I'm experiencing, why did I create this? What is this trying to teach me? Where is it taking me? And that's then purpose. Like now you start reclaiming your internal energy and that gives you more vitality. It's not about you blaming yourself or shaming yourself even. It's just saying, if I'm the creator of my own reality, I'm going to return back to wholeness by not blaming anything else, but you know, the experience. And it's not, you're not even blaming the experience. You're accepting the experience for what it is. And that's what I've been able to do. Like I help people come back and reverse engineer the first original thought that caused the domino effect to start happening. And it can be something really obscure. Like, you know, you were super stressed in that time and you said to yourself, what's the point of living? And then that's turned on some switch in your body that said, oh, okay, so you don't want to be attuned to life anymore. We're going to give you cancer or something, right? And when you go back to that original thought, and because every memory is basically always available in time and space. And in science, we've already been able to pinpoint that when you revisit a memory, it actually isn't the original memory that you have. So you have so much plasticity to change it and rewire your body to do something different. So when people have PTSD, this is something I ended up learning, they revisit the same thought over and over and over again. And they think that the revisit is the original thought, which they only just keep making it worse with each time. But if you go back to the PTSD thought, similar to like when people take ayahuasca, what ayahuasca does, it lets you see the original moment and then say, this happened because you're here now. Look, you're experiencing this level of awareness with me. And ayahuasca allows you to then change the story, the narrative of the identity that's suffering. And that's where quantum shifting and quantum jumping kind of comes in, is like you're a multidimensional being. Time is fragmented in all these subtle ways. And the moment that you change your identity and you say, you know what, I'm not the person that's suffering from this illness anymore, that's where you're the person who's curing the illness suddenly. And then that causes that domino effect that the universe then starts bringing you the people that you need to be in alignment with that will give you more and more pieces to it. And like, you know, I do it on a regular basis where most recently it happened to me. I said, I'm kind of stuck on this answer that I'm looking for when it comes to HIV, because I've been able to help people like reverse engineer it, but there's still kind of some pieces that I'm not fully aware of. And I said, man, like I need to align myself with rather another scientist that really understands this from a different angle, or something has to just channel through me. I was at the grocery store, and then like my local grocery store, I always go into it and I never look at that board that they have, the pinup board. So as I'm walking out, this one pinup board, like really like this card on it stood out to me. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know. I was going to walk past it even. I was like, oh, that's a cute card. And something said, stop and pull the thing and call the guy. And it was basically a card that said, are you a man, gay man who needs help with AIDS? Are you suffering from AIDS and need AIDS care? And I said, okay, let me call this guy and see what he's about. Lo and behold, I meet him a week later, and he is the last AIDS survivor from the original epidemic in the 80s.
Way.
He has not been medicated for like 40 years because he figured out some way to like keep himself sustainable. And I was like, oh my God, here it is, like the answer. And I've been interviewing this guy and just trying to understand, okay, what's your lifestyle? Like from food to water to mental status, you know, like what's your environment like? And I'm literally breaking it down with his help because he's already got a lot of research backing it up for himself. And we're trying to just basically piece it together. But that was me just telling the cosmos, like, I need that extra piece because I'm so open to it, right? And that's kind of like what's happening now with everything that I'm doing. I'm educating the future doctors, the future shamans of the world. I'm super passionate about it because there's a lot of people who say they know how to manipulate reality. They know how to do the law of attraction. They know how to do like divine healing, but they always regurgitate the same thing over and over and over again. And I feel like my purpose is to innovate medicine, is to push the bar and say, what is the body actually capable of? And I study a lot of like Egyptian alchemy, Hindu alchemy. You know, I study all those folklores that people say, like, okay, you can miraculously heal yourself with this one mantra. Like, why? Like, what's that triggering on our aura cams? And is it in alignment with their research when they didn't have those types of technologies, mm-hmm. you know? And then it's just solidifying that for thousands of years, we've actually known what to do, and that our body has every code in it for not only activating every illness, but activating every cure. And when you become aligned with the body, that natural, miraculous event will happen. And you can find it in the Bible where Jesus talks about, you know, like healing people with their hands. Like literally he does it in the Bible, right? So it's a really great example of like the Buddha does it. The Buddha was really good.
Yeah, almost every, if you really strip back every modality, every religion, everything, and go back to its core essence, it's all saying the same exact thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was like kind of another part of my research was like, why are they all coming back to these same concepts, and why have we
gotten so far from them?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And even in our society now, it makes the average person believe that you don't have the power. You need to outsource it. You need medication. You need this. And I do feel like there's this huge call right now in the collective where a lot of us are just going into our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because like, it's really, you know, when you study esoterica of all sorts, it tells you, you go within to make whatever you want happen externally. So a lot of times we have this fear of going internally because we have to face the things that we don't really want to look at.
Yes.
You know,
like, yes. And it's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hard to turn inward. Mm-hmm. And then when you do, it's not as bad. It's not as scary. It's not as intense as you thought it was going to be, but it still takes practice every day to be like, wait, let me go in mm-hmm. versus out.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been like the journey so far. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, a big journey.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. So how are people finding you, like doctors and stuff? And scientists.
So they have clients that essentially, you know, they're sick, you know what I mean? And they'll tell their client, oh, you only have like 6 months to live from this one cancer. And somehow that person is talking to the cosmos and asking the cosmos, hey, hey God, I need help. Like, please, like somehow, you know, show me the way. And they always rather, they see me in a dream or they see my name in a dream. They've never met me before. And they end up like feeling like looking up that name on the internet. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it was you. Or, oh my God, I saw you. And I didn't really even know how this is happening. And I'll work with them probably one or two times because that's how accelerated this kind of medicine is. And that person will suddenly have no more issues with that thing. And then the doctor's like, how'd you do this? Like, this is like not normal. Like you're supposed to die in like 6 months. And they're like, oh, well, I found this energy healing and this guy helped me do it. And then those doctors are calling me, asking me like, you got to tell me more about this. What's going on? And it's become like this network now where doctors are now starting to understand that Western medicine is just like a rinse and repeat process. Like a lot of the Western medicine world has been taught not to freely think, not mm-hmm. to do like the actual mm-hmm. scientific research and experimentation to innovate. They're just being given instructions and they're
like
following
an
through.
It's like an instruction manual. They're reading it and doing, okay, now it's time for this and this. And
right,
this.
Right, right. Which like when you're healing somebody, each case is very specific. Like just because two people are dealing with an autoimmune disorder, it doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from the same manifestation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's where you have to take into consideration the person's life story, their diet, the way they look at the world from all those experiences. And then you have to create a very curtailed, specific, custom thing for that person to have the transformation that they're looking for. And fundamentally, like what I tell people when they want to work with me or any of my coaches, even we all tell them the same thing. Like, are you willing to like do the work? Because it's your body. Like, we can only guide you to activate the codes and then do the transformation. But if I tell you, you got to do this one thing every day, 15, 20 minutes a day, and you're not doing it, no matter how much of a, you know, miraculous events that we can create, you're still not becoming the miracle. And that's where that like whole essence of like reintegrating yourself to wholeness. And when people find that miraculous cure, they end up coming to this point of realizing that they've always been whole. They've always had the answer. They somehow just convinced themselves that they were far away from it, which is that concept of time and space. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what other, do you work with people mainly on like disease and illness and all of that? Or do you work with people on like business and money and relationships?
Yeah. So I tend to stay away from love and relationships because in today's culture, I've noticed that a lot of people have like ridiculous expectations on what like your relationship is supposed to happen. But I work with a lot of like millionaires and billionaires as well. And they usually come because they've come to some sort of blockage or something in their reality. And it usually just takes a quick alteration of some sort, rather it's a thought process that they have or fear that's really kind of like really embedded in their body from like a young age. And once you switch it, like they'll start manifesting the opportunity, the money. My main passion though is like teaching psychics, mediums, empaths, how to finally tune their abilities so that they can use it in some way, shape or form as a lifestyle. So a lot of the people that I train, they want to make this their career. They want to make this a fundamental part, like 6-7 figure kind of thing. And I teach them how to refine talking to a person, seeing their aura, you know, how to talk to the different personality parts of that person so that they can repeat the processes that I give them. But even though I am giving them the answers or almost like the process, I still totally encourage, like I'm giving you the baseline to it. You still have to explore it with your anatomy and the people that are coming to you, because the types of people that will come to me versus you are going to be completely different. You'll be gravitating people who are associated to your own path, your dharma. So that might be like inner child healing or, you know, soul purpose, where for me, people come because they want to activate the shaman within, or they want to create like the next most major step in their life that changes the way they look at life itself. So there's a lot of people nowadays that wake up and they're like, there's gotta be something more to this. Like, I don't know what it is, but that's what those types of people end up kind of generating. They manifest me. And I teach all my students, like, if you are creating a spiritual business on the fact that you're counting on repeat clients, especially like somebody who's ill, you're not working in the highest order.
Right. And because the point is to not have repeat clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's been my career success has literally been off of that. Like I think I see a person once or twice, unless they choose to keep seeing me after that. Right.
Like, so then once or twice, how long do they meet with you?
Probably like 90 minutes, really.
I want to do this
with you. Yeah, we should do it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be really fun. But yeah, and then that's it. Like if they keep coming back, it's for something completely unrelated to the original issue.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I am definitely the kind that's attracted to what you... That's just who I am. I'm like, I want to know, I want to go, I want to get the richness out of it. What is this block? And I like to know everything because I've lived my life very just conscious of like, wow, I have this block here and I feel this here. And I, you know, so I'm always just like ready to bootstrap it.
Yeah. And then the cool thing nowadays is like, because of all this type of science, like there are different spiritual technologies that are coming out that will heal you without having an actual practitioner there. Mm. And when you can have those technologies, like there's one that I most recently experienced, it's called EES. and it's like these TV screens, and it uses like the frequency of the TV screens, the lights coming off of it, and sound to basically create a vortex that a bunch of people can hit, like sit down and get healed passively with it. So the future is going to be much different in terms of the medicine that we're producing, because now there's all these different forms where people can have faster transformations with non-invasiveness. Like, you don't have to get operated to have the shift. Like, and I'm not saying like Western medicine or those techniques are not good enough or anything like that.
But are you more so talking about like a dark night of the soul where you're on your knees?
Yeah, you can say that too. Yeah. Like I have clients that come in and they're like, you know, I'm thinking about having this one surgery to get my gallbladder removed. Mm. Well, the gallbladder is retaining a ton of information. Let's see if we can pull out information from that first before you get it cut out of your body. And that can be something that definitely changes the game for you, because you avoid an operation altogether and stuff. Mm. Yeah. So that's kind of like where we're coming back to it. Even if you're going through like a dark night of the soul, because dark night of the soul is relative to like your experience, right? So a lot of times when you're going through that, it's because you're in resistance of what's manifesting itself for you.
Like, yeah, I've noticed that. I've been through a few really intense ones, and every time I notice that.
Yeah. Yeah. You end up, you're like, why am I fighting this one direction? And when you stop fighting, it's like, all right, everything becomes easier.
It like loosens it up. Mm-hmm. And things just change rapidly when you release it a bit. But I've noticed that from all my dark nights of the soul.
Yeah.
Just the more I'm like, what is going on? Where now, you know, there's a lot more ease of like, who am I going to be on the other side of this? And it's really hard.
And that's that change of perception and perspective that comes from just the experience of higher awareness that you've gained. Like, everything in this reality is based off of perception. And that's what shamans end up learning, is like, if I believe that I can literally bend probability and I can convince myself of that completely, then I'm going to start doing that. And then the next time you have a problem with something, well, I've been able to bend probability before, so let's see if it happens again. And the path gets easier and easier and easier as you go along. And that's why with each new, you know, soul, dark night of the soul that comes up for you, it's almost like, it's the same thing for me. I look at it as like, okay, what's this opportunity bringing to me? Like, sure, it's stressful right now, but it's not the end of the world. It's like, as long as I can keep my eyes open and I can keep like taking step by step, it's going to make sense on the other side anyway.
And it always does.
Yeah.
On the other side. Mm-hmm. And I feel, you know, just being more open to it. And I've been trying to even change my perspective. Like, this is not a dark night of the soul. This is the path my soul chose, because I am on this journey to find my edge, to get to know myself more, to be on this path of transformation, to get this information, to be able to talk to someone like you. You know, there's just so much that I can see is just my soul chose this path. Versus being like, why do I keep going through dark nights of the soul? And more so just leaning into, hey, this is actually my life. And how can it be a little more enjoyable?
Yeah.
A little less resistant to these huge, I could say dark night of the soul, but I feel like for me, they've started to become like massive initiations.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I was on my way here to Austin from Detroit, my flight, like, it was crazy because a couple nights prior, I could feel like my ego was getting ready to fight me. And I said to one of my friends, I'm like, I'm pretty sure like my ego is trying to self-sabotage me from this next thing that I'm trying to do. And I was like, but I'm not 100% sure. So then when I'm at the airport, certain things started happening. I missed my flight like 3 or 4 times. It was like insane. And each time, like when it happened the first time, I was like, okay, this is my ego really trying to manipulate me from not getting to the next space. And I was like, all right, well, don't turn it into a bad thing, because I'm going to magnetize more issues. So I said, okay, let me be kind to the person who's like, you know, at the gate and whatever. And with each obstacle I hit, I had more and more confirmation. Like, this is the edge of your old identity, and you're about to embody the next one. So you have to make sure that you keep going. And if you don't stop, you're going to get what you want. And I have friends who are psychics and stuff. And I had asked them, hey, can you pull a couple tarot or Qing and tell me why is this happening right now? And one of my friends had pulled out like, okay, this is the the salmon's path upstream, right? Like you have to go against the grain, but eventually you're going to get there. And I said, what's on the other side of this? And another friend of mine had pulled out, oh, great abundance is going to be on the other side. So that was one of the things that helped me just keep pushing. And finally, when I got here, it was that solidification, like I'm here now, like my ego can't self-sabotage me anymore. Mm. Now the identity has been locked in. And you're gonna notice that when you're gonna have that massive transformation, the next level you, things just will get harder because it's trying to keep you in a bubble, basically. Yeah.
And it's all your tests and all your restraints and all, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And how much do you want it is what I was really seeing this past time around. The other thing too, like, I don't know why I really want to talk about this, but it's coming up. Karma, I think, is really important to understand too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of times people want to come through and they want to be like, I want to know my past lives and I want to be able to embody that. But when you state that, you're also asking for everything that comes with it, which is the karma that's associated to it. I had to learn it the hard way when I started remembering some of my past lives for sure. Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about it.
Yes.
Because I've been going through this process.
Okay.
As of lately.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, ever since I was a kid, I knew I had like roots to like Native American culture. I didn't really understand what it was until I was much older. Turns out like the Native American people of Puerto Rico, which are called the Taínos, were actually Mayans. And I had always been really attracted to like those indigenous cultures from that time. And when you're experiencing, like, you're incarnated in this world already knowing who you are. You just ignore it because everyone tells you like, oh no, it's like fictitious or whatever. One of my first major lifetimes that started coming through was ancient Egypt. And I started like seeing these images of myself being an ancient pharaoh and like the lifetimes of it and stuff like that. And I thought for a minute, like I was losing my mind because it just started coming out of nowhere. And that's when I had told my friends, and my friends were like, you're probably taking way too many psychedelics, you know, and you're starting to lose it. And I'm like, all right, well, this feels so real. Like no one else is having this experience with me. So am I going to validate myself or am I going to listen to my friends? And I know they were coming from a good place. They weren't trying to be mean. So I said, what if this is all real? Let me just roll with it. And that's when I started seeing reality collapse. Like I would meet people from ancient Egypt that were reincarnated in this lifetime. And I would be in a session with them. They didn't know anything about my personal experience channeling any of it. And they would call me by that name of the pharaoh that I was in that past lifetime while they were in deep hypnosis or something. And it happened so many times over where I'm like, holy crap, like this is legit real. This is actually all happening. And it really took the next level when I had gotten a script from the ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead. And it was all in hieroglyphs still. And I could read it like it was English. And I said, okay, let me see if this is real. And I tested it on a group of people on camera. And you could see their auras like coming off of their body. You could see like so many different things happening. They heard sounds. And it was another confirmation like, okay, like this is something that is a part of my story that's coming up. But simultaneously, as I'm remembering all these things, I'm running into astral exes. I'm running into enemies from Egypt that wanted me dead at that time. And they, even though they want me dead now, they still want me to fail because they're holding on to some sort of internal unconscious grudge, right? And then that's when I realized, man, like calling in your past lives can be really powerful, but if you're not ready to deal with the entirety of the situation, you probably should stay away from it. And I know shamans are like, I don't really care about my past lives because I'm living this life right now. And I kind of
understand. There's so much information though in the past life, because even some of my own things that I've been working through lately, just starting to be able to identify that some of them aren't mine has been super helpful, you know, because it's like, why do I keep experiencing this? Why do I feel this in my body? You know, as I've dove deep into the work, it's actually like, oh, wait, this isn't really mine in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it's been so helpful too, just with giving myself more ease and grace.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, usually when you activate one past lifetime and you fundamentally understand it, it'll take you to the next one and the next one and the next one without you trying. So a lot of times people are like, I got to figure out the one that has the most trauma in it or whatever, but what about the one that has like the highest capabilities? And that's where I started changing the narrative. Like, I don't look at karma anymore as like something I had to fix. It's more so I have to understand it. And that's what I've me and many other shamans have come to understand that, like, if in a past lifetime you were like a mass murderer and like now that's coming up to you and you're wondering why it's coming up to you, maybe it's just the fact to accept the entirety of your story from, like, you haven't always been a good person. And it's kind of erroneous to think that, right? Because even in this lifetime, not everybody loves you because you've had those altercations where someone has seen you as like the greater evil in their reality or something like that, right? So if you can kind of take your lifetime now and then like the way that you get past those like really difficult situations where you have to accept yourself, you have to accept what's going on, is the same thing that's going to happen in every other lifetime. And that's where you become balanced with all the experiences that you're having.
Just with radical acceptance.
Yeah. And it's like non-judgment, you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, yeah, I've been a shitty person in a past lifetime. Like, I get it. Like, and if I have enemies now that are still, you know, really mad about it, like, they're in their right to feel the way that they feel, but I'm no longer that person either. So that karma can't affect me anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's where real power comes from.
That is a power move.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I've moved past it. Now it's your karma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the acceptance.
Yeah.
It's truly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk a little bit about tarot?
Yeah.
Just explain it a little bit.
Yeah. So tarot, a lot of people think that like tarot is the cards themselves that have a lot of the knowledge. And it really just depends on what tarot deck you get into. Like if a tarot deck is made from a very proficient alchemist and they really know alchemy that well, then those tarot cards are actually much more powerful because they have a breath of life, their own like awareness in a way, and they work with you. But a lot of the tarot that's out there nowadays is just kind of like a repetition of the design with new art on it. And it, depending on, you know, how, if the person really truly fundamentally understands tarot, is whether or not that tarot is going to be really accurate on specific things. And so tarot itself is, it comes from playing cards. So back in the day in Western Europe, they used to take playing cards, just like the regular ones that we use, and they would associate each card with a meaning, and each suit of it would have like a specific area of your life. So the hearts in playing cards is actually the cups in tarot. And that's all about like, how do you fulfill yourself more? How do you bring more of these energies or let go of specific energies in your cups so that you can become who you want to be, right? And then as tarot evolved, people started seeing that there were these similarities on predicting the future and seeing trends. And Carl Jung, this really great like psychologist, he was really obsessed with esoteric knowledge. And he started playing around with the tarot. And he noticed that the tarot was communication with your unconscious mind. And through the tarot, you get to see how your unconscious mind is basically talking to you through everything. You just haven't been taught how to see that. And a lot of times people are like, oh, well, the tarot is going to tell me the future. No, the tarot is going to tell you the highest probability of what is predictable within you. And that's why, you know, you can come to somebody who's reading the cards, and if they really understand how it works, it looks like they can read the future and they can see timelines, which they kind of sort of are, because your unconscious is communicating to them through the cards what's the highest probability of your choices, your actions, and your feelings, and how that's going to materialize reality basically with your thoughts. So can you become really accurate? Yes. And read the future for sure. Like I can definitely tell you 99% I'm accurate on any reading that I do. I still leave that 1%, because let's say I tell you, you know, in 2 weeks' time, you're going to have the opportunity to make this massive career move. And there's going to be like three different paths that present themselves in that moment. If I tell you the highest probability is you going right, but in that last moment, you have this thought like, maybe I should go left. Mm-hmm. That's where that 1% error will come in. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is that I read for you is going to completely change. It's another timeline. Then I have to pull the cards again and see what your unconscious is working from there. So there is no such thing as fate. And a lot of times people who are con artists actually in tarot will tell you this is going to happen 100% without fail. Like, you're screwed. You can't get out of this. And when someone says,
if anyone ever tells you that, it's just not.
Absolutely. And especially if they try to like upsell you and tell you the only way you're going to get out of this is, you know, if you invest in these bath salts or something. And, you know, they're definitely trying to, you know, get the upper hand on you. They're using your own victimhood or your situation right now against you. And that's like, you know, opportunistic person, I guess, like a dangerous person to be around. There's a lot that was one of the reasons why I got into showing people how tarot actually works. And over the years, I'm about to actually release a tarot deck this year that is inspired by The Great Alchemist and like my experience with the tarot. And it's very accurate. It's a little bit, it has more suits and a little bit more cards to explain other aspects of esoterica that the tarot didn't originally start talking about, but it's so accurate to the point where it's insane because the cards themselves do have that consciousness that I've imbued in them. And they come from the energy modality that I teach other shamans, which is called Antohai. And it, with those cards, not only can, are there symbols on it that will tell you, all right, if you have a deep sense of worry, this symbol is the answer to help you like energetically shift that for the better of that card. You know what I mean? So tarot itself, it is a form of divination that can be combined with other things as well. And you don't always need tarot to see the future. Like there are definitely some people who can just see it. Like I have those abilities where I can see a person's like energy system. And then suddenly I can see timelines and screens, and I don't need a tarot to predict the future anymore. But if you really get good at that tarot, eventually it teaches your third eye what to look out for, especially when people speak, when people vibrate a specific emotion and stuff like that.
That's so cool. I've never heard anyone break it down like this.
Yeah, yeah. So tarot can be like really powerful too. Yeah. You, the thing that I tell people too is like each tarot deck, it doesn't matter if they come from a master alchemist or not, they have their own personality in a way. And it's almost like you're birthing like a blank deck with like your spiritual energy, and it becomes its own personality. So I think I have over like 100 decks, and there's ones that I go specifically just for love. Others I go for finance, you know, and it's almost like a library of expertise. I don't use certain ones all the time because, you know, naturally you're going to gravitate to the ones that are most reliable. And yeah, that's how you mess around with it. Yeah.
I want to work with you.
Yeah, let's do it. I'd love it. I know you're going to have a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel... like I said before, I like anything that's the truth, you know, just like, let's go.
Absolutely.
I don't like the fluff.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you? And what, I mean, if anyone listening is like, how do I access you or work with you, or what do you got for people?
Yeah. So you can find me on almost any social media under Antohai. So my screen name had to change a little bit because some people beat me to it. But yeah, on Instagram, it's definitely Antohai. And on other platforms, it's Antohai Quantum Reiki. If you Google that, you'll find, you know, my business. My business is Antohai Shamanic Wellness. And we also have an organization that's teaching people how to become master energy healers and stuff like that. So yeah, I would usually tell people check out quantumreiki.org. That's our organization. And that will give you not only access to me, but all my students that are around the world so that you can definitely work with them if they're more local. I always tell people, you know, if you can have a physical experience with the shaman, that's going to be more powerful. But, you know, a lot of us have learned already how to just have a Zoom session with you, and it's still like we're in the same room with you because we've learned how to transcend time and space. So if you definitely feel the calling that you want to be a shaman, you're a light worker, you want to activate the full potential of your divinity, or you just, you know, want to understand how the ecosystem works, like we'll definitely teach you. And especially like one of the things that we're really passionate about is people who have autoimmune disorders. So if you're finding a hard time getting past that, it doesn't matter what it is. As of late, what I've been working with is mostly gay men right now, or women who have fibromyalgia, because the two have a lot of connections there, and it's very helpful. But yeah, that's where you can find us.
Wow. Yeah. I know that, you know, people have autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. So.
And autoimmune disorders actually come from the fact that we're not taking care of the environment. So yeah, autoimmune means self-destruct. Mm-hmm. So there's a self-destruct sequence that we've turned on. And if you study epigenetics, you realize we're not taking care of the earth, right? Sure. Like that 10th chakra, it's an extension of our body. So it's sending a feedback loop to us now. Right. And now we're creating all these other autoimmune disorders that are forcing us to auto-destruct.
Makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. It really makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. So, this is such a pleasure and blessing.
Such a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. For my method, you can go to bodyforward.com. This is a Kundalini activated daily practice that will quite literally transform your life from the inside out. It awakens any energy that is available to us in our bodies that is waiting to be activated and to come alive, helps us remove density from the body, and most importantly, create our lives and our path forward. This method has truly transformed my life, and I'm so grateful that I get to share it with you every single week and be a part of your daily practice. I share new classes weekly, live stream classes. It's a powerful practice set to music. We do movement, we do breath, we do a lot of Kundalini activation, and I can't say enough good, amazing things about this practice. And it's not just me who feels this way. The reviews and testimonials from all of you just sharing how it's helped you move your life forward has been so phenomenal. And I'm just so endlessly grateful. So you can go to bodyforward.com, sign up for the membership. We offer a free 7-day trial, so you can come give it a try. I can't wait to see you there. For all things Kenzie Burke, you can go to @KenzieBurke on Instagram, and I will see you on the next episode.